Who likes a good podcast?
Everybody loves a good podcast, Wendy.
Telling you, we've had a radio show together and separate for many, many years, so we don't think of podcasting that often, but podcasting gives people a voice, and there's a Chicago Podcast Festival that is going on November 17th through the 19th, and in the studio with us right now, Jonathan Pitts, the producer of the whole shebang, the whole festival, correct?
Yep.
And you've brought a special guest, Tyler Green. Hi, Tyler.
Hello.
Tyler's the artistic director of the podcast festival. I brought him on board because he has been working involved with podcasts for the last 10 years. My main experience was running the Chicago Improv Festival. And just like one day I had the idea 20 years ago there should be a Chicago Improv Festival, about a year and a half ago, I was like, there should be a Chicago Podcast Festival. And I was like, but I need somebody better than me to help me with this.
But the thing about you is, when you have an idea like this, and I know this firsthand from watching the way the Improv Festival has grown, it starts small, but it doesn't stay small for long. It becomes huge really, really fast.
It stayed small for about a week.
That's right, right? That's your pacing.
30-plus acts.
Yeah.
Over four nights, three nights.
So. Yeah. And so I got Tyler involved because he's been involved with podcasts. And, you know, we sort of combine our main interests. I'm coming from comedy, and he's coming from storytelling. And then we sort of have the Venn diagram between everything in between.
Yeah.
You know, because the great thing about podcasts is that they involve every type of subject you'd ever want. Like anybody if they've never listened to a podcast, all you got to do is type in any subject you're interested in and then the word podcast, and you will then be able to have a podcast that you're interested in and you can listen to. And it's that easy because for certain audiences, they don't think that podcasting, because it's such a new medium,
right,
is something they can do.
Right.
When it's very easy.
Anyone can do it. There are podcasts on like unboxing new toys.
Yep.
Collecting pens, yes. Crafting.
Are you looking at my podcast app? Come on.
You know what it's reminiscent of, though, is years ago, you would go to a major bookstore and you look in the magazine section, and there was a magazine for every, there was whatever
great
your
analogy.
Interest was,
yes.
That's what it was. So that's
right.
What this
knitting podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right, Bill.
Kitten fancier.
Right.
There's a podcast for that.
Yeah. I know. They won't let me on, but it exists. Keep sending in my application. So it is. It's the modern-day version of that.
Absolutely it is.
What's the strangest one you guys have encountered so far? What's the podcast that you go, wow, that's a small audience?
I have heard that there is a podcast for pig farmers.
Oh, there is.
So.
Doesn't Orion Samuelson host that?
He may. He might, yeah.
If not, he should.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now... With our festival, what we do is everything's live tapings. So you're going to be able to see the podcast happening live. So you're going to be entertained by the people while they're speaking and while they're doing it. So whether it be that you're already a fan of some of the existing podcasts, the podcast nerds that are out there that have their favorite shows, or whether or not you're new to it and you're just like, oh, Bob Saget's going to be on one of these podcasts.
Yeah.
I want to go check this out. Or Kristen Vanganese from Criminal Minds is going to be a special guest. You know, we have so many special guests for this podcast festival. It's almost like that's its own festival.
Right.
Name some names.
Well, like I said, Bob Saget, Kristen Vanganese, Justin Kirk, Scott Adsit, Rhymefest, and who are some of the others?
Sarah Watkins, a great fiddle player. She's going to be on the show called Song Exploder, where they break down a song live, perform it, talk about it.
K. Todd Freeman, who used to be on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Carrie Coon.
Yeah.
Leftovers.
Yeah. We've got Rick Hogan's going to be one of the...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, on a show called Crybabies, where he's going to talk about what makes him cry.
I have to hear that. Right?
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I want to know what makes him cry.
Yeah. And we also have Andre Royo from The Wire.
Oh, yeah. Bubbles
he
from The
Bubbles
Wire.
From The Wire.
The one name you just mentioned, Justin Kirk, is kind of an obscure name, but if you were
he was
a fan
on
of
Weeds.
The show Weeds,
yeah.
Yeah, he was the brother-in-law, and now he's been on Modern Family the last couple of years. He's really a
great
talented actor.
Yep.
Now, are these all Chicago-based podcasts, or are they national?
No, there's a blend of national and local. We very consciously tried to pick shows from everywhere and all kinds of shows, all different types of hosts. We tried in the 30 shows that we picked to have a nice sort of diverse selection in almost every way.
So they're not all about things that make people cry, just Rick Hogan.
Just that one show.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
And all that's all we need.
Bill was just a guest on Jimmy Pardo's podcast.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And,
nice.
You know, it's a podcast. People listen to it. 99% of them are just audio podcasts. Some have video to go along. But people feel a belonging, and they get very...
attached.
Totally.
I've talked about that. Like, part of what's exciting about this as a new art form is that these are literally voices in your head. and you have right. and you have a relationship with the hosts that you don't in some other ways. It's kind of the way my grandparents used to talk about radio when yeah. they would be listening to Fibber McGee and Molly.
Yeah, that's
the
exactly
relationship.
It.
Yeah, the relationship that they had with it. The audiences have such a strong relationship to the hosts that they feel like they know them already. And so when they have a chance to see a live taping, it's a celebration of a community related to that particular podcast.
I'm sure you know Mark Maron or Adam yes. Carolla or yeah. Jimmy Pardo, who Wendy sure. just mentioned. It's a hybrid of the stand-up that we've discussed a little bit and the storytelling that we've also discussed a little
right.
bit. It's really a very comfortable environment. The audience becomes so aware of the host and his or her likes and dislikes that mm-hmm. it's a built-in
right.
familiarity that's
it's
really nice.
It's not like
nice.
You're going down to Georgia trying to win over an audience that's
right.
never seen you. These
right.
are people that already are involved with, they get your nuances.
Yeah.
You know.
Although some aren't as entertaining either when you do like the Cat Fancy podcast.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, right. My husband does Rebel Force Radio, which is just Star Wars people. So it's not like they have, you know, any stand up or
right.
any
right.
Darth Vader that comes out. But again, it's something that's very intimate and you could be a part of and listen to.
You know, and one of the things that I like about this range of what we've been able to bring in and what Tyler's been able to bring in is, like, we have a show called Selected Shorts, Too Hot for Radio. It's normally on radio, but this is stuff that they can't do on radio.
Yeah.
And they bring in a bunch of actors to, you know, read the stories, so it's very theatrically driven. And then we also have, you know, someone like Shannon Cation with his homemade stories, and he's a former Grand Slam Moth winner, and he tells stories about his life. So you have that kind of stuff, as well as you have Hello from the Magic Tavern, which is three improvisers from Chicago who created an alternative world, and everybody exists in that alternative world that takes place, you know, it's a magic tavern in another place. And so you have such a wide range of types of shows.
Sure.
I mean, you have Kevin McDonald's podcast, which is called The Kevin McDonald's Kevin McDonald Show.
Yeah.
it's essentially like a Dean Martin variety show that's done as a podcast.
He's from Kids in the Hall, for people who
yes.
don't know, and we're going to have him on
yeah.
in a few weeks
yeah.
to talk about that.
Yeah, and you know, and at the same time, then you also have very sincere podcasts like Minority Corner, featuring an African-American couple that are talking about the world as it exists and the intersectionality as to what's happening in right now. I mean, one of the things I've talked about recently is that, to me, the difference between improv and podcasting is improv is about the moment, which means it's often very self-referential,
mm-hmm.
whereas podcasting is of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's happening in the podcast is really deeply rooted in the times. So as we are post the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series, and as we're a day before the election, all of us are being affected by everything that's happening, and podcasts seem to be able to respond to that culturally, socially, politically, artistically, more effectively than improv, which is often more like, hey, you and I are roommates
mm-hmm.
and we're upset about the butter.
One of the examples of that like that I was just thinking of when you were saying that was, there's a show called The Room Where It's Happening. So for all of you Hamilton fans out there, The Room Where It Happens is one of the big songs in Hamilton. And they got, so these two comedians are host the show, and they got Eliza from the Chicago production of Hamilton to come after she does two shows on a Saturday and come do this interview live with them to close out our festival at the Promontory in Hyde Park. So when you talk about of the moment and unique experiences, you can't get much more unique in the moment than
a Nashville and Hamilton podcast.
Wow, that's a great score.
Right?
After two performances?
I yes. know, right?
We're having a car to pick her up and drive her over and then, you know,
take her to the spa where she'll mm-hmm. stay overnight.
Get her some roses and stuff.
That's how it should be.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. So ChicagoPodcastFestival.org.
Yep.
Correct.
All right. That's where the schedule is. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to find out where it is because it's a handful of locations. When it is, November 17th through the 19th. We're talking about the Chicago Podcast Festival with Jonathan Pitts, Tyler Green. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. It's Bill Lift. It's Wendy Snyder. You can always listen to podcasts of our show at WGNRadio.com, but it's not like a legit podcast because we can't swear on them.
No.
Because they take them just from
right.
this radio station and put them. But they're still entertaining.
They're still fun, sure.
But if you want the real deal, no holds barred, you need to check out the Chicago Podcast Festival. Jonathan Pitts, the producer of the festival, and the artistic director, Tyler Green, is here. What are some of the podcasts that we may not be familiar with but that are very popular?
I have one here. It's called Bullseye with this guy, Jesse Thorne, who started the Maximum Fun Podcast Network, which is a whole host of mostly sort of funny shows, but also thought-provoking shows. And his is kind of the banner show that became a public radio program that's played on public radio stations also. The cool thing about this is, one, it's in Hyde Park at the Promontory, which is just a beautiful location. But he's also got Dwayne Kennedy, the comic. He's got Andre Royo, who played Bubbles in The Wire. And then he's got this musical guest, Split Single. And your ticket for that show also includes this podcast called Lady to Lady, opening for them, which is a group of three female comics talking about very funny things. So for $25, you get all of that. Mm-hmm. To me, it's like, why wouldn't you come hang out with the Bubbles from The Wire? The bonus is all that other stuff.
That's worth $24 right there. Yeah. That's for a buck.
And your laughs and claps will be on the podcast.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then some of the other ones that are really popular. We have one show that's already sold out. It's called My Favorite Murder, and they've sold 950 seats in 2 or 3 days. And it's two women comics who talk about a real-life murder, and they find the humor in it.
Is it always the same murder, Jonathan, or does it change from show to show?
It changes from show to show. Unfortunately, America has its share of murders.
Lots of murders, yay.
Yeah, I was planning on putting it in my own podcast, calling it My Favorite Serial Killer. I don't think it's that much of a...
It doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
No. And then we have another show that's almost sold out. There's only about 100 seats left, and it's called Guys We Bleeped, and it's two women stand-up comics who get on the air. They're feminist stand-up comics, and they talk every show about a different guy that they bleeped. And
I may have to listen to this one.
And it's
they talk about a lot of other things in that universe, too. It's not just guys.
It's
not just
point.
It's situational. That's the
but
starting point.
But people can relate to
that.
For sure. And there's some kind of voyeuristic thing of listening to that as well.
And they're hysterical people.
Yeah, they are.
It's just like listening to your friends talk. You get to be a fly on the wall.
Super funny. So, you know, like if you like Broad City, you would like Guys We Bleeped.
Oh,
because,
nice.
You know, and one of the things that I like about podcasting is that, unlike maybe mass media where everybody's stuck within their roles for TV, here the talent is able to create its own universe, its own world, where two women can go, let's just go do this, and they do it. And all of a sudden it's amazing, as opposed to like, well, you're the funny one, you're the next door neighbor, you're the nerd guy who goes over here. Everybody is able to, whether, you know, regardless of your skin color, regardless of your sexual persuasion, regardless of your points of view in life, you're able to create a show that's reflecting of you and your interest. So I feel like in the day before the election, that this is a very democratic art form.
Mm-hmm.
More, you know, cause,
it would be.
Yeah.
Is it much of a transition? A lot of these podcasters normally are just doing it in a room in their house, and now all of a sudden they're in a theater with 950 people. Is that a big transition for some of them?
This is what I do all the time. I work for The Moth, I work for WBEZ, and I do, of course, this as well. I do these live events, and you work on this transition, right? And it takes some time to get used to it, because the whole point, one of the whole reasons people do this is so they can sit not in the room with a bunch of people, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you've really got to do it. You got to do it over and over again. It's just kind of, I think, like, I haven't done stand-up, but I imagine it's like doing stand-up in different rooms, getting used to what it is. And it's a different thing, right? So we talked about the intimacy of the art form and having these people in your ear. Suddenly you see them in front of you, you're getting something different.
Mm-hmm.
Instant reaction.
Exactly. Which, you know, is
challenging. Could be good.
Could be good. You know? Well, you never know.
And also one of the things that's really beneficial, speaking to somebody who's been trained in improv and has improv as a background, is that a lot of times you do a show in front of 150 people and then that show's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you've created, and
good
even
point.
If you're improvising
yeah.
on a podcast or any conversation that comes out of it, it has a permanency that, as long as we have technology, will be around and accessible.
Absolutely.
It'll be out there on the internet forever. Forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hate to put the pressure on everybody, but...
can for somebody who wants to go into this line of work, podcasting, is there any real money to be made in it?
Talk to Mark Maron.
He's doing all right.
There are a few people, Adam Carolla as well, but they have figured out a way to make money where it's a living. Most people kind of do this as a hobby, don't you think?
A lot of people, I would say the average person that does a podcast, but, you know, dealing with some of our... bigger shows, they all have agents, they have managers, and they are getting paid. And it's, you know, there's money in podcasting in a way that there isn't in improv.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's an extension of their comedy life. Like,
yeah.
it's sort of like a comedy gig, but it happens to be a live podcast tape.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there definitely is more people getting money at it, because as you develop your fan base, if you go do specific shows and people pay to it, you're getting the money for that.
Yeah.
You know, merchandise. I mean, really, if people are fans of you, look at the Nerdist, you know,
right?
Chris Hardwick doing pretty great. He just installed a TARDIS in his house.
From Doctor Who.
Yes, and it's beautiful. The light lights up, and he did a tour on Facebook, and as you open the door, it enters into his television room.
Nice.
I was going to say we should have him next year, but maybe we can't afford it.
No, now he's expensive.
I don't know.
How do you guys decide who makes the cut into the festival and who doesn't?
Well, initially, it was like I went for all the comedy type shows. Tyler, because of his background in storytelling, went for the storytelling shows, and then we started maneuvering around from there. Mm-hmm. Tyler, you want to take?
Yeah, I mean, there's no set formula. I think it's sort of like you make sure the bigger shows that require more negotiation are sort of nailed down first. Then you see what your sort of palette is, and from there you build out to different neighborhoods. Like Wendy said, we're multiple neighborhoods, and you kind of listen to the neighborhood. You try to program shows that are right for that space. It's, again, there's no real formula. It's just that we want quality shows, and we want there to be a diversity in the lineup in almost every way that we can think of what that word means.
And we want the audiences to be able to have fun.
You know,
to be able
too.
To come in and be entertained, have a good time, and have a unique experience. We have shows happening at the Athenaeum Theater, the Promontory Theater, which is in Hyde Park, Shuba's Tavern, Steppenwolf Theater, and Vidim Theater, which is one of the hidden gems of Chicago because it's at Ashland and Augusta, but it's a 300-seat theater, and it's really beautiful. Just like the Promontory is not as well-known as it ought to be, but it's a great, great theater, a great venue as well. So,
and where's that?
That's in Hyde Park because we wanted to be able to have some stuff on the south side, you know, because podcasting is everywhere.
It is.
So we want some of the shows to exist everywhere. You know, what I say is like, this is the fastest growing art form this century. So like I say to the audience, come be a part of it.
So I should stop breakdancing and get into podcasting.
No, have a breakdancing podcast.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
The world needs more breakdancing.
And it would be great because you could just put the music on, and since it's an audio, they would just hear like you swirling around down
falling.
The floor.
Sure. Yeah. And you could interview Furious Fast Furious and the Furious Five, but whatever they're...
I'll bring them on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. I know what you're talking about. It's the Chicago Podcast Festival. The producer, Jonathan Pitts, the artistic director, Tyler Green, thank you so much. Go to ChicagoPodcastFestival.org for all the deets.
Correct? All the details, yep.
Perfect.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
A quick break and then some news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.